Found this in Ganner room. Ganner knee.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me, as always,
Aaron O'Brien.
I think there's some little green men about.
They're always around. The government just keeping them quiet.
Yeah, see, you got my cigar, yeah.
They do a lot of smoking in the government, too.
Yeah, see, you gotta keep them fresh.
So today we're talking about the Deep Space Nine episode, Little Green Men.
But first, we've got news. Relevant Star Trek... No, it's not Star Trek news. It's people in Star Trek news.
Well, it's definitely interesting. So, the big shakeup is obviously, if you haven't heard yet, is that Jennifer Lean from Voyager, who plays Kes, she was arrested a couple days ago. It's September 15th. 2015.
Yesterday, as of the recording of this episode.
Right. So, she apparently exposed herself to some young children.
I believe it was her neighbor's kids.
Yeah, somebody in the neighborhood.
Crying and...
They were just kids being kids, and then the mother asked her to leave the kids alone, and then she ended up lifting her shirt up, and then she ended up pulling down
her
pants.
Yeah, like she mooned them and showed up her boobs,
and then... they called the police on her, and after that, the police showed up at her house.
She left the door open.
Door was open.
She took off the rest of her clothes.
She was completely naked, sitting on the sofa.
And she was like, come on in. I was expecting you guys.
And the police came in, and they asked her to, you know, said, well, I guess she had warrant for arrest from before as well, so there was reasons that they were looking into her. But the issue was that they went to ask, you know, they said, okay, well, you need to put on your clothes, you need to come down the station with us, and she says, there's no way I'm coming with you.
And she started threatening their lives.
Yeah, that there she says, you know, I'm going to kill you and that kind of stuff. So they had to have a female deputy come. Just
restrain her and get her in the car.
They literally had to carry her to the squad car, and
kicking and screaming and the whole time threatening. And this is just such a weird, like,
yeah, we don't normally see too many examples of this with Star Trek people. Usually they're pretty, you know, I mean, everyone has their own problems, of course, but it's like this happened.
It's something we don't really see that happen with many Star Trek actors. I mean, a lot of them move kind of behind the camera, and most of them are super active in the con scene.
Right.
So, yeah, it's...
We don't see it too often. I remember the only time I ever felt any bit nervous was going back in the 90s, was when Shatner's wife died, and she drowned in the pool when he was... And I thought that, oh, my God. I was like, I hope he doesn't... Like, hope it wasn't like he killed her or something like that. But he wasn't even in the house.
I don't think he was, like, in the state.
No, he was visiting his daughter in college or something. I don't know if it was in the state, but it was not even in town. Like, he was gone.
Yeah, he was very far away.
And he checked and not, he before he left, because she had an alcohol problem, he checked on her and was, you know, saying, like, are you going to be okay? And she said, yeah, I'll be fine. And then he left. And then what happened was she started drinking like cold medicine or something. Like, she got into that, and she drank so much, and then she obviously got so drunk that she drowned in the pool. I don't know how exactly happened, but that's the long short of it. But
I'm sure it's maybe happened to some of the lesser stars in Star Trek who have, you know, maybe had problems. I mean, who played Janice Rand? I'm blanking on her name. She recently passed away, but she was really bad in the drugs in the 60s, and like part of the reason was that she they were
written out.
Well, yeah, but I mean there's also lots of pressure on her looking good and, you know, being almost a sexual object, or she's like, you have to look this good. And like, so the drugs kind of helped her keep the weight down. And so she, it was kind of like a self, you know,
yeah,
you know, a self-feeding cycle where right. it's like, oh, you know, you need to still look good so you can be, look good for Captain Kirk and the camera and everything. But
because Captain Kirk wants you to look nice.
Well, yeah, and, but like we want, it's like, you know, you have to fit. They made her say you have to fit into that. Otherwise, you know, and then I guess the drugs also amplified part of the problem. And I think it wasn't just that, but I mean, I think I also was reading that, you know, she kind of got written out because since Kirk was like the ladies' man, they didn't want to like make it like he was cheating on her all the time,
right?
So he's going to be not chained down at all. He is going to be
well. There's definitely been
free.
There's definitely been tragedy attached to a lot of Star Trek. I mean, Nichelle Nichols' brother was part of the Heaven's Gate cult. He committed suicide. Walter Koenig's sons committed suicide. I mean, there's been a lot of sadness, you know, within their lives, obviously, like I just mentioned Shatner and stuff like that. Yeah. So Jennifer Lean is not, like, I guess, excluded from that, but it's just the first time we've seen an actual one of the actors.
One of the main actors from the series.
Who, like, we've seen their life kind of, like, completely unravel.
Fall apart. Yeah,
yeah, and it's sad because I really believe, obviously, she must have some mental issues, a mental disorder. I don't know exactly what, obviously, but and a lot of times when you have some kind of mental disorder, mental illness, you self-medicate yourself. And, you know, you take drugs and sometimes that can really, that makes it worse, you know, it makes your situation worse, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a crazy situation for sure.
But there's been some positive news recently, too.
Yes. Yes, there has been. So,
Nichols took part in a NASA flight on a modified Boeing 747.
747, correct. Yeah, she was part of a what's it called? An atmospheric...
Atmosphere condensers that they were trying to build in Catan?
Yes, almost like stratospheric observatory for infrared astronomy. And they have this... So it's just this airplane that flies at a very high altitude, and it has like all this...
near-Earth orbit type thing?
Yeah, it's so high up and that they can get a better angle at that kind of stuff than that they can do on the ground because obviously the atmosphere... you know, warps the light that comes into yeah. it and, you know, who know, you know, all the other stuff that, you know, obstructs the light that coming through. So,
which I think that also happened yesterday as we record the show from the recording of the show. And I think, I know it's been reported that she was going to do this for a while. And I know she had the stroke, you know, a month or so ago. So I was really worried that, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I know she's not going to space, but I mean, near space orbit is still pretty high.
It's pretty cool, yeah. And,
I mean, like,
she's,
you know,
82.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, like, you know, if you have, like, you know, blood clots or something like that, you're not supposed to fly. So, I mean, stroke, I'm sure, is, like, you know, isn't basically just a blood clot in the brain. So, I mean, like, you know, I was kind of worried for her. But, I mean, they should have pictures of her on Facebook. I've been seeing them all day today, so.
Yeah, she went up there. Like it's really cool.
She had a good time.
Yeah, it's very cool that they could do that and that she could be part of that. I mean, obviously, we had James Doohan's ashes were put into space
yeah.
and stuff like that, but we don't really have too many of the Star Trek cast actually going up into space or near orbit space. So,
it's really, really cool and really amazing that she got to do that. Well, Nichelle, I mean, like, she was huge with NASA because she and a lot of the Star Trek cast got to see NASA, you know, up close back in like the 70s
and 80s.
And, they, you know, the NASA people were like, oh. You know, they want their autographs, but they wanted the NASA people's autographs too because they're doing their work for real. And
right.
So it was like mutual like fandom, and it's really cool that, you know, after all these years, she finally got to go and do something with NASA.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's the whole thing is great. I just love how our space program like interwoven with Star Trek so much, like, because those people who were the scientists were watching that show back in the 60s and just like loving it. And, you know, they were then the next scientist to come into NASA.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know.
It's like the fans. Yeah,
the fans. So and cool. then it just, like, grew and grew and grew. That's just really cool. I just think it's one of those things that just, like, how culture and science, you know, come together.
Oh, and Star Trek's such a big part of pop culture, and it's just such a cool thing that Star Trek inspires hope. I mean, I wonder how many stories are like that with Star Wars. Like, you know, did Star Wars inspire anybody to, like, do science?
I don't know.
I mean, like, because, I mean, it's science has never been a big part of Star Wars.
It's not that people don't like Star Wars. It's just Star Wars is more of just a journey or a fairy tale set in space.
It's like a fantasy, like an Lord of the Rings set in space, pretty much. Yeah,
exactly. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just not. But it's just that these people saw Star Trek and were like inspired, and they wanted to, you know,
be like Scotty, or, you know, do something like, you know, like,
I think
like
they, engineering. I think they either wanted to be like Kirk or Spock.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, like, you know, but I mean, like, you know,
nobody was electing to be Scotty.
No, Scotty inspired people too.
I know, maybe a small percentage. Maybe those were the scientists,
especially from the episode the Wolf in the Fold.
Wolf in the Fold. Yeah,
that's where Scotty inspired most people, probably.
I didn't do it, Captain.
I didn't do it, but I don't remember.
I don't remember. So that was the news. So we have kind of a sad part of news, and then we have kind of like a triumphant part of our news.
And like nothing really new in the movie. I mean, I don't think we talked about their new away team uniforms that are like these blue, like they're all blue and they're like kind of heavy duty jacket. And
yeah, nothing too big.
Some gold on their shoulders. To me, it kind of looked like a French officer uniform, like from like, you know, the Napoleonic era.
Yeah, but we don't even know what the story is yet, so maybe that plays into it somehow.
Well, I mean, like everyone's saying it's the away team uniform, like it's just, you know, it's something to dress up in on the away mission instead of like just their, you know, different colored spacesuits for the ship. But they also released pictures of them in their ship uniforms, and they changed the ship uniforms. They don't look. I don't think they look as good personally. They've got like up the side of the seam. Mm-hmm. It's like a darker spot of the color, and they don't have like the Delta shield as part of the fabric anymore. And I love that extra little detail in the fabric of the Delta shield in the first movie. So I'm kind of sad they're changing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of just waiting to see what happens. I watch the news obviously to see if anything comes, but. Besides those pictures that were leaked.
Yeah, but I mean, there really hasn't been much anything, just a couple pictures. So the only kind of plot details that I've seen is that supposedly Kirk and Spock aren't going to be sharing a lot of on-screen time together, but Bones and Spock will be spending a lot of time together. So maybe we'll get more Bones in this movie, because it's one of the things that I really feel was lacking with the first two JJ movies is, like, Bones is just a caricature of himself.
Yeah, he's
Where he just says, like, a couple, like, funny lines, and that's all he does for the entire movie. I'm like, well, there's so much more to Bones than that.
Well, hopefully we'll see more for him and see what they have to offer yet to be said. But shall we get into the meat of our podcast today?
The meat. Oh, this is a
little green great meat
episode. Yeah, little green meats is.
So we start off. We have the auctioning of Nog's childhood
possessions,
prize possessions.
Prize
possessions.
Oh, you really love those pajamas that his dad bought.
I'm taking the pajamas.
It's like 20, no 10. Sold.
So Rom's, obviously Nog's father, is there in Quark's bar, and they have all the stuff lined up on the bar, and Nog is going off to Starfleet. He will be the first Ferengi officer to, or you know, young Ferengi to go to officer school in the academy.
Although I think there's some like shots of random like Starfleet shots of like random Ferengis walking around in uniforms like from like previous series or episodes. I want to say that I can't think of the episode I'll say, but I want to say I've seen them before. Mm. Or maybe it didn't start happening until after Nog, but or maybe it was the Voyager episode where species 84762 were disguised as humans. And they had their huge holographic training ground that was trying to replicate Starfleet headquarters. Maybe that's when he saw the Ferengi. I can't remember what episode, but I know I've seen a Ferengi walking around randomly on Starfleet headquarters.
I'm not gonna deny that. But they're selling off his collection, and you know they're all looking at buying it. Worf is interested in a tooth sharpener.
No. Worf was not interested in being here at all, but Sisko made it mandatory that all the senior staff had to participate in this thing because Sisko actually sponsored Nog to actually go to Starfleet Academy.
Right.
Which is a previous episode, which is also a pretty good episode.
Right, right.
So, yeah, Jadzia buys Bashir, a sex holodeck program.
Yeah. It's like, just consider me president. And Julian's like, all right.
Thanks. Are you going to come with me?
I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But during this, the auction, Quark comes up to Rom and says, forget all this. We got to go and get that ship ready. And Rom's like, what ship? And basically, Quark has his cousin Gala, he loaned him a bunch of
money to get his moon operation started.
Munitions. He sold munitions.
Yes, but he owns a moon too.
Oh, does he? All right. So he says that he said he'd pay him back with a ship, and this is the ship. So they go to the ship, and Rom's going to look it over.
Since Rom is the technical excellence, even though he doesn't have the lobes for business, he is a tech genius.
Yeah, this is the thing about Rom. I just keep on going, like, what? Him?
He seems like he's dumb as nails on the outside, but he knows the ship stuff.
Right. So he checks out the ship, and he goes, the ship's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything works in perfect order. He can't find anything wrong with it. And Quark says, well, we need to take it on a little test run. Where can we go that's not too far, not too dangerous? And,
let's go to Earth. Let's bring Nog to Earth.
Yeah, so that was Rom's thought.
And Quark, and I was really surprised when Quark was like, yes.
Yes, Earth.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, let's take him to Earth.
I'm just kind of like, what?
You were just
so against,
because Quark doesn't want Nog to go to the
Federation
yeah. Academy. He thinks it's
a waste.
Rom runs off to tell Nog that they're going to fly to Earth, and then Quark makes a little quip that he says, "I'm going to make a lot of money.
All I need is a strong ship,
right,
and a lot of contraband."
That's right.
Put in her hold, which I love as a misquote of, all I need is a tall ship and a sail, stars a sailor by or whatever.
Yeah, he does say a tall. I need a tall ship and something. I was like, what do you need a tall
contraband
ship?
Contraband to fill her with.
Right. So the next part we have Quark making arrangements with Morn.
Yes, he's putting Morn in control of Quark's bar, which
can't
is
even
great.
Imagine Morn doing anything.
I wish CG was used more because I've always wanted to see Morn talk.
Oh, Morn is like one of those characters that he's such a goofball,
You never see him talk, but everyone says he's a loudmouth and he's a horrible person and he just like drinks all the time.
Right.
And
he just hangs out at the bar all day. I don't know what he does.
Almost in every single episode. He's independently wealthy once we get to Who Mourns for Morn. That is a fantastic episode. Morn has got the hottest wife. I don't know how. She's like a giant walking slug, and his wife is like primo.
money talks. BS
yeah, money
walks.
Talks.
So Morn's taking over the bar while they're gone, and then next we have Jake and Nog, and they're at their little hangout spot at the promenade, and they're kind of like,
Aaron, I'd rather do nothing with than you.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather just do nothing, just hang out. So they're kind of reminiscing because Jake knows that he's not going to see Nog for quite a while. Because
he's got some schooling to do. And just think, it was Jake who taught Nog how to read.
And just think.
I don't even know how that's a thing. Like, Wesley had such a hard time getting into the academy, and he was a genius kid, and Nog didn't know how to read when Jake first met him.
I'm saying Cisco's got some pull.
Yeah, Cisco. He did build he did design the Defiant pretty much. So
right,
he's like, yeah, you can go. And his wife did die. He might have pulled the wife card too.
He's like, yeah, it's not like my wife didn't die at Wolf Tooth. He's like, all right, you got to pull that one.
That's one he can pull forever. It's like infinite pulls of that one.
Yeah. So Julian and O'Brien show up after. Going to the Alamo, and they give him a little going away present. It's it's basically a data pad with all this information on Earth.
That pleasure program he could share with O'Brien.
O'Brien's like, I don't know what to do in here.
Just imagine it's Keiko. There he is. Like, he just lays there, just doesn't do anything.
Just imagine it's Keiko, and he just turns around and runs.
It's like, where's Molly?
Exactly. So Jake walks him to the airlock to say goodbye.
Oh, but they O'Brien and Bashir give Nog an iPad with.
That's what I said before.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks for listening to me. Thanks for listening to what I had to say.
You're welcome. Your input is a valued part of this podcast. But did you call it an iPad?
No, I call it a data pad, actually.
I love how, like, there's a data pad for every different thing. Because, like, they hadn't
thought of, like, iPads yet.
Or just, you know, how storage was going to work.
Right.
In general.
Right.
It's like in Star Trek, you see them deal with, like, 16 different pads at once. And when 7 of 9 is like, going through her history, she's got, like, boxes and boxes of pads. And I'm just like, how did he not have enough storage? It's just text he's reading.
I know. And then in the original series, they always talk about the data tapes, you know, because they haven't done anything for, like, they haven't discovered anything to record anything other than on tape.
Yeah, yeah. So. They still call them tapes, but they're cool little, like, they're basically like giant SD cards.
Yeah, they're, exactly. So, they get on the ship, and the ship is called Quark's Treasure. So, and they're
Quark's Treasure,
and they fly off to Earth. Well, we find out just a little bit later that Rom says not to worry, that he knows about Quark's contraband that's on the ship.
Yes,
his chemosite, which is some kind of unstable. I guess it must be used for weapons, but I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, he was going to give it to the Orions. He was going to trade it with the Orions, so I'm sure that's the Orion Syndicate he's going to be, like, meeting up with on the planet Orion. And I'm sure, you know, it's probably used in either weapons or probably some sort of, like, ways of manufacturing drugs or radiation isotopes, because we do know it interacts with radiation to I guess create chronotons.
Does something. this is Star Trek mumbo jumbo. Sometimes they just make up just to, so something.
Oh, and work. Like all the stuff that the Rom comes up with is so crazy.
It's if we vent the plasma gas
and we suck it into the cargo hold, then we'll use some of the gallimite and it'll do this. And well, like, I was like, what?
So what they find out is that they're flying off to Earth, and it's just a long car ride, basically. And they find out when they're coming up to Earth that all of a sudden they cannot drop out of warp. It's just the ship is continuing to accelerate.
And right at this time, Nog's got his iPad and he's showing his dad. He's like, hey, doesn't this look like Sisko?
Oh, yeah, the Bell character.
I think he's actually showing it to Quark. Yeah. Like, does this look like, doesn't this look
and
like
And Quark says, all humans look the same. So the ship has been sabotaged by Quark's cousin, and why he did that to him, I'm not exactly sure. But
he bought him a perfect ship, except like the warp compensator or throttle wasn't meant to go in the backwards direction, and so Quark starts blaming poor Rom that he has done something wrong, and he's like, no, everything was perfect. Everything checked out. The only way this could have been wrong is if it was intentionally made to do this wrong.
It was sabotage, and that's so Galus sabotaged it, and Rom figures out that if it floods the cargo hold with plasma.
I wonder how the ship got there if it wasn't able to drop out of warp.
Well, obviously they did before. Yeah, well, they obviously did it after they left when they dropped the ship off. Rom floods the cargo bay holding the chemosite with plasma, and it allows them to shut down the warp core. But what happens is they go through some kind of the reaction makes...
It creates chronotons, and it sends them back in time.
About 400 years, and it looks like they're back in 1947.
And I love how it kind of keeps the Star Trek time, like Star Trek IV, everything went white. Quark went white before he wakes up on the...
chronotons on make the you bed. White.
Yeah, well, chronotons make you white. Well, I don't know. It's not really chronotons. Is it chronotons when you loop around the sun? Or is that just a loophole you're flying through?
I never understood it. I don't get it. It's. I mean, obviously...
Two different modes of time travel. There's chronotons and there's a loophole around the sun. Yeah, warp.
Yeah, it's not really a loophole, but it's something to do with the gravity and the warp that it's in the, you know, that the sun creates that gravity. Somehow they use that gravity to go back in time. It doesn't technically make
Star Trek magic.
Yeah, it doesn't technically make a lot of sense. But so the next scene we see, Quark wake up. He's laying on a bed. It's in some kind of medical facility, and there's Nag and Rom right next to him.
They're covering this white sheet all over top of him, and it's just like, what?
Where am I? And so, and then they have a scene of a soldier, and he's making a phone call when Quark wakes up, and he says they're awake, and they pan in on the calendar. It says 1947. So it's obviously they're back into the post World War II days where we're doing atomic testing, and obviously we got the whole Area 51 and Roswell.
And their ship is stored in Hangar 18, which is conveniently a Megadeth album.
Well, there.
It's a song, and it's a song on the Megadeth album.
Well, there you
go. Which is also about basically Area 51 and all the whatever
you
happenings
just
that
exercised your musical knowledge.
Yay!
Wow, and I learned something. I didn't know that song. So
it's a good song.
So I'll have to check it out. So they have the. They're in this military facility. They're locked in. Their universal translators aren't working, so they're talking some.
I think it's the first time we actually hear.
I don't think we. Yeah, we.
Ferengi.
Yeah, we never heard
real Ferengi.
Yeah, it's basically gibberish, but it's cool that
it sounds really cool though.
Yeah, they had something worked out, and so they definitely worked. I don't know if it actually means anything. If anybody worked out linguistically. You know,
that what if they just like, you know, put their words through some kind of like rearrange their speech patterns, because it was still the actors talking, like it sounded really good.
Well, when and I thought they did this pretty well too, because when they were talking to each other in front of the humans, they would do in the gibberish talk, but then when they were between
talking
each other,
to each other,
like,
yeah,
it's like these humans are idiots. You know,
I love it. They figure out their universal translator's not working, and they're like trying to hit their head.
Yeah,
and
the humans are like,
and the humans are like
hitting their heads.
Maybe
back.
That's a greeting, and they're like, hitting, oh, the humans look so ridiculous. I mean, it makes sense that like, you know, the Ferengi are doing it,
right?
And like they don't look so ridiculous, but they're just like. Every time they do it, they copy them. It's right, like monkey right. See, monkey do. Or human see, human do.
It's great because it's you're seeing – they're trying to obviously reach out to the aliens and then thinking they're saying hello, but obviously they're just, you know, doing what they're doing. So
Quark pinches his nose and the guy pinches his nose and he's right. Like, they're mimicking us. This is going to be so easy.
Right. So he's definitely got this plan. The military officers are basically trying to figure out what they're doing there. President Truman wants to know what they're doing and what they can get any information or knowledge from them. Obviously, if an alien did land at that time period, they would be able to get some information. Some say that we've got information from aliens. That's why we have cell phone and Wi-Fi. But that's a different argument for another time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love. We should do a whole episode on aliens and conspiracy theories. That'd be fun.
Right. Exactly. So
there's a scientist there, and he's got to figure out how to talk to him. And he's got a fiance, and he doesn't really care much about figuring out how the aliens speak because he's too fixated on his fiance.
How she's going to look in her wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. And she's messing with her hair, and Rom is like, oh, maybe that'll help. And he is gibbering in his Ferengi language at her for her bobby pin, and he takes it and goes and he resets their universal translators.
Right. So they work that out. So now that they can talk to them, and that's... because Rom says that this is the funny thing. Just before that happens, they're talking about it, and they're saying, "Well, the only thing that would work that would make our universal translator is if there was a solar flare or beta radiation. But that would only happen if there was a atomic explosion." You know, and
Rom's like, oh yeah, Nog's like, on my iPad it said they nuked themselves all the time, and he's like, why would they
in the atmosphere? He goes, they did it all the time.
They did it all the time.
He was like, Why would they do that to
themselves? And they're also doing a very anti-smoking thing in this episode, too, and because they're talking about, oh, they poison themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what's that horrible smell? It's tobacco.
It's hilarious because there's like, you know, it's like it's a slow poison that will, you know, that will kill you. And they're like, why would they do that to themselves?
And the funny thing is, like, you know, this was like back in the 90s. And like back in the 90s, I mean, like smoking was still – you could still pretty much do it anywhere. Back in the, you know, in the 90s, like inside buildings and all sorts of places.
Yeah, the laws were just coming, starting
yeah.
around that time.
So, like, it was, they're kind of like, I don't know, forward thinking-ish, you know, like, with that and how, you know, harmful.
Well, it's funny because if you do watch a 1940s, 1950s movie, I mean, they smoke like fiends.
Especially in the X-Files, the cigarette smoke. I mean, the guy's name is Cigarette Smoking Man, which is your. I mean, you don't.
Smoking Man, yeah. But if you watch any of the older movies, they're just like an old Hitchcock movie. They're just smoking. So it's
smoke.
It's not a lie. I mean, they really did smoke a lot back then. So, and it is funny because you do notice that it's actually pretty glaring when you're watching. It's like how much they actually are smoking. Because like even like the boyfriend, the scientist, lights two cigarettes in his mouth and he's lighting it and then gives it to his fiance.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just so bizarre because like we just don't see it anymore. Like I do have friends who smoke, but it's just like it has become a point where there's not as many. I don't know as many people that smoke anymore.
I mean I like to have a cigar every now and then.
Sure.
Or a pipe, being a classical guy, but, you know.
Just sit out on the porch, have a pipe.
Have a pipe, have some whiskey, you know, drink. Sit to haul it up, man. You gotta live life to the fullest.
Is it just tobacco that you put in your pipe, or is there...
Yes, only tobacco. I haven't smoked a pipe in a really long time, but yes, I'm a big fan of Cavendish tobacco.
No other type of plant that you might put in there?
I've never done any drugs, ever.
Wow. Wow.
I've done codeine. I had a prescription for it.
I've had caffeine.
Oh, yeah. I've had caffeine today. No, but I've never done any kind of drugs. No, I've always sort of kind of wanted to experiment with like a hallucinogen because I'm just like, I wonder what it's like to lose your faculties. Like and see things that just clearly aren't there.
Yeah, you could try that. You could try some mushrooms. Salvia. Or something like that. Yeah, do something like that.
Although I'm not a fan of mushrooms. I don't like them on my pizza, so I don't know if I'd like mushrooms.
Well, you don't. With mushrooms, you boil them. I mean, you can just eat them, but the best thing to do is boil them and make a tea out of it, and then you would get a more even. Because the problem is if you just eat mushrooms, you might get parts that would be, like, too strong, and then you really, like, you have a crazy trip,
really tripping.
Or you have just something with nothing.
So this is from experience.
Plead the fifth. So, they're pretty taken back by the humans' habits. You know that they're putting off atomic bombs within their atmosphere, and they're smoking, and those kind of things. So, but Quark seems to quite like it. Because he sees them as people that he can manipulate.
If they'll buy poisons and poison themselves and nuke themselves, they'll buy anything.
They'll buy anything.
They will buy it.
So once they get the universal translator working, he gets a meeting with the general. And
he's trying to sell him so hard.
Yeah.
And the general's like,
you remind me of my, like, was it brother or something? My cousin.
He's a car salesman.
He's a used car salesman.
He's not very good at it.
He's not very good. Yeah.
So he's just doing the selling thing, and he's like, oh, he's not very good. And Quark's like, oh, that's nothing like me then, because I'm very good at what I do.
Right. So then they, after he comes back in, he's kind of, he's basically told the general, like, you know, let your president know that, you know, I can sell you weapons, disruptors, phasers, warp drives, all
you
this
can go
stuff.
To other planets, it'll be awesome. He's like, so what about anything else? And he's like, you know, if you don't want him, I can bring him to someone else. And he's like, oh, the Russians? And he's like,
Yeah, I could
sure.
Sell them.
Yeah, yeah. I could sell them Russians. That sounds good to me.
I'd much rather sell it to us Australians. Americans.
It's like, whatever. You're all humans to me. Humans to me.
I just like the Quark goes, whatever. But so they bring him back to the room where they're holding the aliens, and after. After a little more interaction between the scientist and the scientist's fiancée, Faith Garland or whatever her name is, they leave. And a German Shepherd seems to jump up
under Quark
and be like, aggressive with them, and it transforms. It is
Odo.
Odo.
Odo is here to save the day.
Yes, or something. At least stole away and just be a pain in the ass for Quark.
Well, I mean that's their deal.
Yeah. It's like I could protect all Deep Space Nine, but I'm following Quark.
Yes, yes. Like, there's nothing more important than following your local criminal.
Right.
I just think Odo had a thing for him.
Yeah, he is a super criminal. It was like a cat and mouse game between them constantly. So.
But there was but they also had a lot of respect for each other, even though it was very adversarial and almost like, you know.
Right.
It was sort of pseudo-friendship, they're frenemies.
Yeah, no, they definitely were. They're always, like, you know, back and forth with each other. You know, he doesn't trust them. Obviously, doesn't trust Odo. But there's, like, a mutual respect that they know that, you know.
And their dynamic's some of the best in the show. I love the stuff between them. But it's just, like, you know, Dominion... Nah, that's not a problem. We're gonna follow Quark around,
yeah, exactly,
and follow him back in time to ruin his day trying to conquer Earth.
Right.
Fortunately, the ship's intact. They just got some minor damage, and he's like, "It'll be ready to go in a couple hours. You be there because we're not changing history."
Right. But Quark's got different plans. So what he plans on doing is warping back to the Fringi home planet, selling them the technology for the warp drive, because apparently 400 years ago they did not have warp capabilities. And after that, what they are going to do is he's going to use that money and bring it, all that stuff that he wants, and sell that technology to Earth. And
oh man, it's just going to be so crazy! Like Quark's empire would have been magnificent. I mean, like there's that Voyager episode where the Ferengi from Next Generation episode who gets stuck in the Delta Quadrant, mm-hmm, for that unstable wormhole, that they kind of transform this world, and, you know, they're basically the lords of the world because they have a replicator. But this would be so much more because they'd be able to, like, transit, like, huge technologies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Earth would be spacefaring, you know, before the Apollo missions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. This would have been, like, crazy.
Yeah, no, it would be pretty crazy. Actually, they probably would have just been a jump ahead, maybe. Well, obviously, if they're spacefaring, they would be going into warp. So they'd be going, you know, far beyond.
Yeah, it would have totally changed everything.
Right.
Especially as militaristic as America was. Like, it would have made... I mean, it could have been the timeline that made the mirror universe people almost, you know.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, you don't know.
Whether, you know, because they're so militaristic and, like, this time, like, yeah, I can smoke my cigar. I'm going to be like, yeah.
Take
over the world. Like, what are the Russians doing? And so, this could have been, like, you know, if they would have stayed, and maybe it was the way...
Right.
Part of the mirror universe. I mean, there's so many ways the different mirror universe could have splintered off.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, after Odo leaves, they said that that they're going to be ready and, you know, obviously to get out of there. But the captain is basically talks to the general, and the president says no deal, and that
we got to find out why they're really here.
Yeah, so they're paranoid.
Oh yes, they think they're Russian spies somehow. They're aliens from another world, obviously, but no, they're Russian spies, sort of.
So what happens is they take them into a bunch of guards grab them and they bring them into his room. They put bags over their head. Why they had to do that, I don't know. But
so we're moving them to another room.
Another room.
They can't see the hallways. The hallways are too important.
Right, important things in the hallways. So they brought them there, and you have a. They're asking him the questions, and
they're giving him sodium pentol or whatever it is, the truth serum. Yeah, yeah, like they give him like five shots, and Quark is extremely low pain tolerance.
Right, right. And you know, asking him what do they want, and he's like, Quark's like, what do you mean, what do we want?
I told you.
What we're here for. And then you know, it's like, well, maybe, you know, we'll, you know, he's like threatens to, you know, to cut his throat, and then he goes over to Rom, and Rom starts crying for his Moogie.
What's a Moogie? Yeah.
and then Nog throws that they're getting ready for an invasion.
Yeah,
and like I knew it.
He's feeding into their paranoia,
and basically tells them the invasion is going to happen in Cleveland.
Yes, it's like no, not Cleveland.
And then he says, "Over here." And then he gives Captain a elbow jab to the stomach. He drops his gun. He goes to grab it, but then
just the regular MP, military police guy, pulls the gun on Nog. And then luckily, the scientist and his girl
hit him with a bedpan. And
smell of urine in the morning.
Yeah, I love the smell of urine in the morning.
Because it's like 4:50 at this point, because the nuclear explosion is going to go off at 5
right
a.m.
So they're
definitely morning time.
So two scientists beat the hell out of some MPs.
Some security guards who were like trained. Oh, you would have hoped, you know, trained to fight self-defense. There's, you know, little things like that.
Smoking too many cigarettes, they're totally totally out of shape to be fighting. Like,
we're the Night Guard. We don't have to do anything.
We just walk around folk.
Why do we have to know anything? Nothing's supposed to happen tonight, man. Game over, man.
Yeah, exactly. So they make an escape after running around the base. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to obviously get forward in time.
And the general guy jumps out. They got them surrounded. And then Odo saves the day, knocking like three guys out by himself, single-handedly.
Mm-hmm.
And they take them to Hangar 18, which we mentioned before.
Right.
And the woman is like, maybe one day we'll get to go to space and there'll be a huge conglomerate of planets all working together. And Quark's just stay here. It's going to be fine.
It's a crazy world out there.
You don't want to see a space. And I just kind of love how that almost kind of harkens back to City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah.
Where these women are just saying like the Star Trek theme. Like, right.
And like her boyfriend or her fiance is like, you know,
you're
like,
so silly.
You say the craziest things. This is why I love you. It's like, no, it's going to happen. Shut up and kiss me.
Pretty much. And so they go, and they've only got 7 minutes to get to the nuclear test.
Yeah, here's another pseudo thing. So obviously they need an atomic explosion to set off the chemosite, chemolite or whatever it's called, and it's going to put them forward in time.
They can reverse the process by...
Still don't understand how that would even work.
Reversing the polarity of the chemosite. Have you tried reversing the polarity of something?
Well, not just that, but even if it did happen, it's like, how do they know they're going to be back in the same time part, you know, part in time? You know, they're going to go back forward 400 years from where they are.
Yeah. Well, they do. They get contacted by Earth Security, you know, Space Network. And they're like, yes, we need help, you know, and they send a tow ship out to come tow them because they just flew through a nuclear blast.
Right, right.
So their ship is, you know, a little bit banged up. Although I was really curious that it was beyond repair because they said they sold it as salvage. I guess it's got to go like the sitcom route where like
they
can't really have anything new.
Right.
Like, you know, they win $1 million and it just goes away.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, but it's Starfleet, like Federation. Like, shouldn't they have like, I thought everything was like free. Like, couldn't they have just fixed it?
Well, it's not free in Ferengi world.
Well, no, but I mean, like, you know, but they were on Earth. I mean, wouldn't Earth have been, like, just all chummy and friendly and like, oh, we'll fix this for you?
Yeah, I don't get
like,
it either.
I'm like, why is it, like, just, like, how was it damaged that badly?
Right, I don't know. I don't know.
Nuclear blasts are just, like, a thing of the past, you know? New types of material to help repel that. I mean, they didn't die, so, I mean...
No, I don't. It doesn't make it. I think it is more like you said, the sitcom rule, where they got to go back to where they were, you know, the reset button, and go back to where they were before. So,
which is really sad because Deep Space Nine was one of the ones that actually had like that, you know, concurrent, like
things would change, and then you know they'd keep following that.
But not for Quark. Quark's got to just stay in his bar and just be happy.
That's what he does,
except
so they come back. And then Odo grabs Quark and he says, I'm arresting you. For what? He says, for smuggling the chemosite.
You have no evidence.
He says, you have no evidence of that.
It's like, we'll let the grand jury decide. Yeah. And Quark's like, give me a lawyer. He's like, I think Galen, I'll call Galen to get you a lawyer.
He's like, you idiot, Rob.
And that's where it'll probably be like an assassin instead of a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. But that's where they basically left off the whole the whole episode, and it was pretty cool. This is a very, very fun episode.
It's really entertaining. It's fun. It's like it's a lot of tribute to like a little bit of City on the Edge of Forever, a little bit on Yesterday. You know, Today's Yesterday. Mm-hmm. A little bit on
Area 51,
and that lore. And it was actually the 50th anniversary, like getting close to the 50th anniversary when they did this episode.
Okay,
so it was kind of done for the 50th anniversary at that incident. And I also like how in the episode they reference the incident. It's like, oh, it was just a weather balloon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it was great. Like,
what spaceship? That was a weather balloon. Yeah, no, it was cool. And I enjoyed the idea of what would happen if you put a Ferengi, like Quark.
on Earth.
Back in the 19th.
I would have loved to see this be a two-parter and him like almost succeed and then something happens where he can't. Like that would have been like fun, like a what if. Yeah. Or a mirror episode where that happens. That would have been fun. It was a fun episode anyway, but I'd love to see them play with it a little bit more.
And it's really funny that it really played into the whole old way of human thinking and how they were all like, you know, like, you know, obviously paranoid that there was always the. I mean, obviously during that time we had the Red Scare, so everyone's always seeing communists in their soups and stuff like that. So they're always like, "Ooh, you know, are you a communist?"
What's gonna happen?
You know, they have the McCarthy hearings and all that stuff. So obviously, you know, they're still playing in that paranoid that, you know, obviously three aliens come down and they're like, "We can give you all this technology. Like, what's your angle? Are you working with the Russians?
He's like, tell us the truth."
He's like, "No, I was going to sell you.
I just want to sell you all this stuff so I can get lots of your money." He's like, "I love how it's like." He's like, "What's your currency?" He's like, "We got money, dollars."
Yeah, dollars. He goes, "I never heard.
Never heard of it. You got any precious gems or stone or anything?"
Says, "We got gold."
Although I love I've referenced Who Mourns for Mourn earlier. Ferengi seem to go back and forth on if gold is valuable or not. The first time we see Ferengi in Next Generation, they're entranced by their comm badge and like, "Oh, is that gold? Like it's valuable." Mm-hmm. And then he seems like he's okay in this episode that, you know, he'd be happy to trade gold for, you know, whatever.
Right.
But in Who Mourns for Mourn, he calls gold worthless.
Well, the thing
gold
is, I think
worthless. Maybe compared to Latinum, it's worthless.
Yeah, I'm assuming Latinum is probably more
exponentially more.
I'm just assuming that it's more rare element, you know, like something that they could have, so that probably it's more valuable. Where gold is, I mean to us it's valuable, but there's even like, you know, like platinum is more valuable than gold.
Yeah,
you know, obviously, you know, uranium is more valuable than platinum because it's more rare. So I mean, there's certain things that are more expensive. It's just that gold was one of those things that we've attached a lot of things to, you know.
Well, like, you also because it looks pretty.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's definitely a precious metal. It looks pretty and it is valuable. It is rare to an extent.
Right. Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's like you find gold anywhere, but I mean, it's like, you know, obviously silver.
You know, maybe in space, you know, it's just a lot more common.
I'm assuming. I mean,
I just love how he called it worthless gold. Right. It's all crumbling up in his hands, and he's like, "There's no platinum here."
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, gold is probably that's all humans probably had. I mean, obviously they had other things they could. Well, so.
They had some kind of like, you know, uranium or something for the nuclear bombs for the isotope.
Of course. they had platinum. They have, you know, like you said, precious gems and stuff like that. So they could definitely do that as well. So
there's such great little like just lots of little fun things in this episode. The Roswell thing, the weather balloon bit, the dollars. The
this is so fun, and it's fun to see Quark just so like conniving and just trying to like, you know, see our culture that's kind of like in, you know, not as developed, and he's going to take advantage of it.
Exactly. They're just barbarians.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about this episode is that, like, Quark doesn't get many episodes. Armin Shimerman, the actor, he doesn't get many episodes to, like, really be a leading man because his character is just – he's a great character, but he's a lot of times on the sidelines and he's, like, you know, kind of, like, in the background in a lot of episodes.
It's hard to make him look heroic all the time because he's so – he's always looking for an angle to get –
But it's just so great to have him, you know, Max Grodinchek and Aaron Eisenberg all together and, like, basically running this episode with right. just a bunch of guest stars.
Right.
Such a good episode to see them in, and they all play their parts so well, and the chemistry between them is very fantastic.
No, they definitely did a really good job. It really well. The only thing I was going to say that I thought was a little off was Nog's makeup looked a little blotchy at certain spots.
Yeah, like he's I don't know, like, what was going on.
Quark's looked all right. Rom was hit or miss on some of the scenes, but Nog's consistently looked just really blotchy. I don't know what that was about. I don't know if it was something with his makeup or...
Maybe he just wasn't feeling good. Maybe he had, I don't know.
So that was my only – it's not a huge thing. I mean, the story
– Oh, yeah. His makeup was just weird that day or whatever.
Yeah, right? It was just a very, very odd. There's, like, you know, some of those
– But it wasn't Kang bad.
No, not that bad.
It wasn't Kang near blackface bad where, like, he used up all the makeup and all the other supporting Klingons had to use less and less makeup because he was so dark all the time.
No, it wasn't that bad whatsoever. Exactly. No,
like we talked about in that episode. I mean, Kirk even looked like horrible in that episode.
Yeah, Kirk
like,
didn't even.
He looked awful.
They didn't even like comb his hair a couple times.
I think the only person who looked okay in that episode was probably Kang's wife and Spock.
Kang's wife didn't even look that great. Her makeup was.
It kept changing because Kang required the more than makeup.
Like, hey, take some off her face, put on Kang.
She had little smudges.
Right. Yeah. but talking about Nog. We've got something special for Nog.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars. Universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays. I can't!
Shut up, kid.
We have our score this week. The wonderful... Nog. He was like, my could you massage my ear again? That just like something's wrong with my ear. And she's like, don't you want to see the doctor? She's like, No. You whatever you did, it was good. So she comes over and he's like, ugh. He's like, yeah. I start rolling back and he's like, that's so much better.
Oh my god. So in case you didn't know,
Umox.
So basically, Frankie's genital, or at least their genital stimulation.
A huge erogenous zone is their ears.
Ears, yeah. So if you're rubbing their ears, they get very, very turned on.
I also love how, like, one of the first things, like, whenever, like, she's giving Quark his medical exam before they get the translators fixed, like, he says Umox.
He says
like, Umox? Are you going to give me some Umox?
He's like, yeah. And he's like, he seems to like you. But Nog's getting his little hand job there by the nurse, and right in front of his dad, Rom.
It's right in front of his dad and right in front of
her
fiancé. And it's just like, I just don't understand why, like, they don't see his reaction, like, just his eyes rolling back and his moans. Like, how does she not like, like, seeing how this is a weird sexual turn-on? And then Rom's like, yeah, my ears are starting to hurt too.
Yeah, hey, could you go over here? He says, "So maybe my fiance can do that." No, no, just you. Yeah, so Nog definitely got the Nog is for his
pioneering.
Yeah, is for being such a pioneer to become a Federation officer. He still has his Ferengi side that is still strong. That would
maybe he wants to be the Ferengi Riker. Maybe he read all about Riker and how all the stuff he got. I mean, like, you know,
it's possible.
Like, you know, he's like, oh, it's got to be Umox there somewhere. Maybe they just don't know the word.
Well, he definitely got his. I don't know what he. If he does that to all the women, but I'm sure he's been he's got some practice in that. Maybe with the Dabo girls too. So
maybe, yeah. Or maybe that's what his program was specialized in, was Umox. Oh, like, that's right. And so Bashir's like, what am I gonna do with this? That doesn't do anything for me.
It's just rubbing my ears. What the hell do I care? So yeah, so now getting the old Umox in the ears. Nice. Really nice. But yeah, so this has been a great episode to watch. It's a great episode. I remember when I saw this, I just thought it was so fun that they actually took the story that way, you know.
Oh, such a great mashup of lots of great themes and just right. Old movies and Area 51, which is always a fun topic.
Fun topic to get into and kind of like just like wonder if the government has covered up all the evidence of UFOs and all that stuff, you know. I know. I love to get into all that stuff. I don't really believe it, but I do like to see that stuff and just wonder if it's possible.
Oh, it's just so fascinating to listen to and to speculate on and like, you know, is there really aliens and is there a cover up and like, and it's just kind of cool to see like how intense people get into.
If you really come across somebody who is a UFO believer, they are very, very into it, and there's no telling them anything different.
Yeah, and like I'm a huge fan of the show Ancient Aliens. I don't believe anything on that show. I just love watching it because I love how bananas these people are about things.
Not just that, but it's like how did this happen? Aliens
and like it's like ancient alien astronauts theorists say yes. It's like all these ridiculous questions. And the thing that makes me sad about Ancient Aliens, even though I really like it, it's really entertaining and it's really funny to see how crazy some of these people are, is that I'm sure there's really well-meaning like UFOologists and people who believe in ancient astronaut theory that you know, because you know most everything in the media is never, you know, constrained the way that. That the actual believers really, you know,
right.
It's always like the most sensationalized version of it.
Yeah.
Be it Christianity, you know, like Islam, like anything.
Yeah.
So ancient alienism.
It's its own religion, its own belief.
Yeah, it's its own, you know, belief structure. So like it's the most sensationalized version. So I'm sure there's like really well-meaning people that believe.
Right.
And these UFOs and aliens and stuff like that, that probably just like shake their head and hate that show. And I can totally understand that because it's like misconstruing their beliefs. And like this is on the History Channel and like it's very easy to do Google searches and like just, you know, refute their claims.
Yeah, no, there's
lots of things, which is really sad.
But to anybody's credit, too, I have seen, you know, things on like, you know, TV and documentaries where they do show things where like, well, we don't know what this is, but like there's like lights that show up over Phoenix and stuff like that, you know, and they are like giant ships, and you're like,
what is that? How did it happen?
Nobody knows what it is, and like the government's not saying anything about it, you know. So there's definitely been things that are out there that, you know.
Although something interesting is that I feel like UFO sightings have decreased significantly as like on videotape, video quality, as in high definition, has increased.
Right.
And your mobile devices and just things. And you feel like because everyone's got a, you know, not everyone, but lots more people have video recording devices in their pocket now than ever before. So I mean, like, shouldn't UFO sightings be skyrocketing instead of decreasing?
Yeah, it's the other thing is like before, you know, I mean, if any of the older listeners would know, is that you take a picture, you had to put the picture in focus. You obviously take it at the right speed, the right setting. So it wasn't just like you just pulled out your camera, took a picture. You had to like adjust your lens and hope you got that. And you didn't know if you got it, too, until, like...
You got it developed.
Yeah, like a couple days later, you got it developed. So now we can say, like, oh, I got it, or I didn't get it. You know, like, right now, you know...
Immediately. And not still pictures, but videos or, like, bursts of photographs all happening at the same time with all these cool things that smartphones have. Or, like, just even regular cameras are so small they can fit in your pocket now. Like, cameras are everywhere. We should be seeing way more UFO sightings.
Well, I think that just goes to prove that a ton, if there are UFOs or anything, a ton are just faked, you know, or like weird objects that were, you know, a picture was taken and they're like, what is that? And it could be anything, but it was like...
But it's really sad because, like, I really love – I mean, like, it's so fascinating to me, like, mm-hmm. to talk about UFOs and you know, aliens and stuff like that. And, like, I mean, like, growing up in, like, the 90s, like, at least once a year there was, like, a UFO sightings thing on, like, on sci-fi or
right.
or something like that. It's, like, you know, like, UFO files or, you know, interesting things happening, like with, like, new footage found, like, you know, new proof and, like, you know, interesting things like that that weren't ancient aliens but just, like, oh, like, you know, more – interviews with people
right.
who are supposedly abducted and you know, the animal mutilations and all these interesting things.
Yeah, no,
things.
I get into the – I like that stuff too, and I like, you know, like I'll – not all the time, but, you know, if I'm just not feeling like watching anything particular, I'll put on like a – like I'll go on Netflix and I'll watch like a UFO documentary.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some are worse than others, obviously, but some are really well done. And, like, you know, there are some like pretty – like I said, like the ships or the lights that showed up over Phoenix, and they were just like, I mean, they're huge. And you're like, how, what are those? And like in the, like the Mexican Air Force chasing after, you know, some UFOs
yeah.
in their airspace, and they didn't know what it was, and they were like darting around their jet airplanes and stuff like that. And these are all caught on tape. They don't know what they are. And I'm not saying that it's aliens because, you know, I what the hell do I know? But I mean, it could be some advanced, you know, aircrafts that the U.S. have, or maybe some other government. So we just don't know. But.
Yeah, and it's all like, and you know, and it's like a conspiracy theories within conspiracy theories, and it's just so interesting to me. And I really,
my issue
I'd love to see newer documentaries on it. It'd be cool if, like, somehow, like, you know, with everyone having a camera, that we'd start to see more UFO sightings.
My real issue in the end is that if they are real, is like, what is their purpose here, and why are they, you know, hiding? And
they're trying to sell us
yeah.
disruptors and phasers
yeah.
and torpedoes.
I mean, that's the you know, like, either they come to scout us out to dominate us later, or they're here to scientifically study us, or, you know, they're just
they're making deals with the governments.
Yeah, maybe
a new world order.
Maybe that's what it is. You know, maybe they're all just setting up a new government for us. But who knows?
The reptilians and the Greys are coming for us.
They're all, yeah, exactly. So I don't know. But it was definitely a fun episode to watch and see how they kind of tied that in with it. You know, so good stuff. Definitely good stuff.
Very good stuff. And next week we will be coming at you with a Voyager episode, Revulsion.
Revulsion.
Thank you all for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at SynthaholicDuo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys.
The stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Earth people make me so angry.
Agmar, is that you?
I'm Agmar. I've come to the past of Earth to take over.
With my superior plant growing skills.
We will now all have salads. Enjoy salads.
You will smoke salads, no longer smoking tobacco.
The tobacco will grow. You won't dry out the leaves and smoke it. Let it grow. Let it grow.
Let it live. my butt has some tobacco growing out of it. If you want to smoke my crack.
Wait. Wait. What are you doing with that lighter? No. Wait, what are you doing with that atom bomb? No!
Oh, Agmar, don't walk onto that. We tried to warn Agmar not to walk onto the nuclear testing site. Poor Caniculus, he doesn't have any more asparagus.
A lot of asparagus here.
That's all right, I grew a giant asparagus.
I have Spock smoking my asparagus now. Spock 2, that is.
Spock 2, smoking my asparagus.
Coming to theaters near you.
Oh, my God.
2017. Rated R.
Rated R. Rated RR.
Rated NC-17. For graphic caniculus on Spock violence.
Oh, God.
And loving.